So we're talking about VR in music. So like, I mean, we were talking about it earlier, how Childish Gambino did. So did you look into that?
Yeah, I've looked a little bit into it. The Pharaohs Project or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. Should we explain what that is to people?
Yeah, sure.
So what I got from it was Childish Gambino made an experience for his new album.
Yeah.
And then you had to go to Joshua Tree and you didn't have a phone or like any kind of watch or anything. So you had no idea like what time it was and just kind of created this really kind of trip of an experience anyway. And then he made it so you can't, he did it like 5 shows in a row or something like that. And then made the VR experience out of that where he just like recorded it. And then you could go in and experience that concert in VR.
Yeah.
Is that pretty good description anyway?
So you can like hold your, you can hold the phone up and sort of pan around through the concert and sort of like look at the stage and turn around, look at the audience. And
Right.
And I mean, that's super dope because I think we actually talked about this in my digital media class, and just sort of how maybe in the future, like we can have like virtual concert seats or virtual like sports, seats to where you can, well, sure. I never like was at the thing, but like, cause I was, you know, on a business trip to wherever. Yeah. And so I couldn't be there. So I bought the tickets, the virtual tickets to experience it in VR. And so I'm in my hotel room in Japan at like, you know, what's 7 a.m. in Japan, but like, you know, I don't know how time works.
yeah, time's not a thing, right?
Yeah. so like you can experience a concert or a sporting event.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know. Some people might find that scary. Is that scary?
Yes, it's terrifying. But it's kind of in a good way, you know, terrifying in one of the best ways.
Sure.
What are your thoughts on, is that going to put going to concerts out of the question? Like, is that not going to become a big thing anymore?
No.
Okay, I agree with you on that one.
Because, I mean, it's one thing to like, see it through VR or like watch a live video. Like I watch a lot of live videos on YouTube as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like of just, cause I like seeing that, oh man, I love this record, but I want to hear like what they do live to make it sound cool. And so I watch a lot of live videos, but that still wouldn't stop me. Like if Radiohead comes to like Dallas or something, like I'm still going to go see Radiohead.
Like, yeah, I'm there. Right?
But if like there are VR tickets, like, I mean, I'd still rather see Radiohead.
Definitely. Yeah. Nothing quite like the real experience.
Yeah, exactly. And so, and the same thing goes for like, I mean, every sporting event is filmed and you can watch it on, you know, ESPN or ESPN2 or ESPN8, the Ocho. That's the a dodgeball reference.
Nice.
but like, that still doesn't stop people from going to the place, gathering around with all these people and experiencing this thing. Slight tangent. It might be a longer tangent than I hope, but we'll see. Trevor, I don't get sports.
Okay.
I just don't get it.
You know, sports are interesting, but you weren't raised on sports, I'm guessing?
No. I was in football in middle school.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was a marching band in high school, and so we had to go to the football games.
Right.
And,
right.
Like, I think, like, I can watch football and understand what's going on and go, like, oh, hey, like, yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know if I get, like, the experience or the like, why do people – I mean, why do you wear a hat
supporting a team that, you know, I have nothing to do with?
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think it's mostly because I was just raised playing sports.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I just really love watching people do something that I have no ability to do at all.
Sure.
And I can respect, like, you know, like just gladiator athletes, sure, you know, sure, just like doing stuff that I could never even dream of doing. So it's like, if you think about it that way, it's kind of like a little bit of fantasy almost, you know, if you can, you know, just in a dreamland of just like, oh, I wish I could do that. You
right.
know? So,
right.
I mean, there's one aspect of it. And yeah, I think it's just, it definitely has a lot to do with me anyway, just being raised playing sports and
right.
just relating to it that way
mm.
anyway.
Yeah. Cause I mean, I do play a lot of video games.
Mm-hmm.
That's a similar thing. Like, you get to go outside of yourself and sort of experience a thing that's exciting. And yeah, I mean, I feel a lot of kinship to video games, but it's harder in real life whenever it's real people with, like, I don't know, afterwards they like go home and drive their Ferrari or something.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I don't know. It kind of lessens that a little bit for me.
No, I get that. Yeah, I totally get that.
So, like, what's your favorite sport to watch?
Favorite sport? Football, definitely.
Nice.
And it's kind of messed up to think about because, you know, we've figured out now, like, what they're actually doing to their bodies, which is, like, really sad and messed up.
A lot of head trauma.
Yeah, like, so much. But, I mean, honestly, I kind of view it like gladiators now.
Right,
it's literally
right.
just, like, modern-day gladiators, which is however you want to take that.
Yeah, but, like, a little bit morbid, too.
But. Yeah, exactly. But it's just, like, I don't know. It's just, like, a little – it's just kind of a getaway for me, honestly.
Sure.
Yeah, it's just – I don't know. You can kind of zone out, and you just worry about – just the teams, which is like, I don't know. It's like a simple way to, I don't know, escape, I guess,
right.
for a lot of people.
And I don't mind that part because it's like, cool. You're coming together. You're getting together with people that care about the same thing. Like you're excited
mm-hmm.
and that's good. You get a good vibe. You get
totally
friendships and stuff like that. But then bad stuff.
It gets too much. Yeah, people just get way too intense about it. I don't understand that at all.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if my team loses, sure. Like, I'll be in a bad mood because they lost, but does that
sure.
affect my day? No. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Should it affect my day? Hell no. That would be so dumb. You know,
right.
if you just let a team that you have nothing to do with, that you just decided you liked, affect your day and everything.
Yeah,
I don't really understand that one, but.
People get into fights.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, have you seen the Europe stuff with football, soccer, over there? Like, they have to sit on different sides of the stadium,
man.
And it's, like, gated off that, like, the fans can't interact because they'll just, like, riot.
Yeah, that
it's insane over there. And, I mean, and over here. It's just as bad,
sure,
honestly.
Sure, but, like, and, I mean, the Super Bowl is the largest televised event. I don't know if it's in the world, but at least in America.
Right.
And I mean, it is, I mean, yes, going back to like the gladiator thing and like, there's actually a really good Radiolab episode that talks about like the head trauma thing.
Mm-hmm.
But like the whole country gets together in front of their TVs and watches like people hit each other very hard.
Yeah, and toss a ball around.
Yeah,
it is
yeah.
very weird to think about when you just kind of put it down to like that. You know?
Right,
it's,
right.
It's super bizarre to think about.
Mm.
And we rally over that. I
yeah,
mean, people
yeah.
just like come together, you know?
Yeah.
People that would, yeah, it's super bizarre.
I also acknowledge the arbitrary nature of that in that we're musicians and music is also kind of arbitrary. Like,
mm-hmm.
oh, how could you gather out like all these people come together to watch someone like scream some things at you?
Yeah.
Like,
or just like pluck some things on this, you know, instrument
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
yeah. I get that too.
So, I mean, I acknowledge my hypocrisy there in that, but like maybe it's the excessive tribalism that concerns me.
Definitely. Yeah, that comes out way too much. And I just don't know why it happens in sports so
much.
I think maybe it's just because it's physical and that just draws those people, you know? I don't really know what it is, but people just go crazy. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that why that comes out.
Yeah. The sport I really enjoyed in middle school that I loved being a part of and I wish I had actually done more of was I did wrestling in middle school.
Nice.
And that's pretty different because it's less about teams and more about people.
Right.
And so like if you're, let's say you're like with your buddies at the bar or something and like a fight breaks out, you're going to root for your friend. Like, screw this guy. Who's going to like come up here in my night that I'm out with my friends and try to beat up my friend? No, kick his ass.
Right. Yeah. It's going down.
So, I mean, like, I feel like wrestling is a little bit more like that. It's a little bit more personal and it's like, right. Like get him down, pin him or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a little bit less team based because even then, like, and I mean, it was middle school, so like, what do you, but like, there are some guys at my school or in my team or whatever that I didn't like very much. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I wouldn't really root for them anyways.
Exactly.
So, like, it's a bit less tribal and a little bit more personal.
Right.
Like, this is you and me one on one. I can physically restrain you better than you can physically restrain me.
Yeah, that's basically what it comes down to.
Yeah. And so you get less, I mean, yeah, there are rules in wrestling. You can't obviously just like deck someone in the jaw or something, but
I mean, you can. It's really up to you.
Yeah, but
you want to get ejected or not.
Right. but it's a bit less like here are the lines and here are the points and here's the but it's a little bit more, I mean, there are points in wrestling, but it's a bit more straightforward in that you get the other person down. Like,
yeah. How do you feel about golf? Because I did golf in high school, and I think that's like I really like golf just because it's just a one-man sport.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
It's all on you.
Similar.
And keeping your cool and not just like losing your
shit.
And just creaming the ball and, you know, just like, you know, just, yeah.
I think golf is weird because there's also like the whole, all the stuff surrounding golf. And so it's a little hard to take that away from golf itself because you and similar with football, but even more so with golf, it's like you get all of this land and you don't like give it to people or for farms or whatever. You just take this open stretch of land, you mow it to where the grass is perfect and you do nothing on it but hit balls over it. You probably won't even touch most of that lawn. You hit
balls. That's a really good point. I never thought about that. Yeah,
and to begin with, they were like, no black people.
Oh, right. Yeah, in the very beginning.
Yeah. So it's like, it does have a lot of connotation to begin with.
Yeah, it has some bad stigmas to it for sure.
But, so I mean, the stigma is like, oh, the rich white person has so much free time that they can, and I'm also a poor brown person, so maybe I'm a little bit biased here. but this rich white person has so much free time that they can hone their skills at hitting a small ball over very large distances because their property just spans so wide that they can just hit a small ball and hone this skill at hitting a ball with a long stick at very precise increments. But at that, if you take away all of my brown people bias, you get a sport that does take a lot of patience, a lot of skill.
Right.
It's not like loud and raucous. You're not going to have people like punching each other in the face or tackling each other. But you get like a very discreet and finite sort of like, oh man, like, this is inches away from like that one thing, you know? Mm-hmm.
It's very much a mental game, in my opinion. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty much like all mental. Obviously, there's the physical aspect of it, and like that's more for like pros and stuff. But I mean, pretty much anybody can play golf if you have a working body, you can play golf.
Right.
And I think it's just, Yeah, the mental aspect of it is like really interesting to me.
Anyway, yeah, yeah.
It's just like if you've ever played, like just falling apart and you're realizing that you're doing it to yourself.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's just kind of a weird thing.
Yeah,
to,
the
like,
more frustrated you get, the worse your next hit is going to be.
Exactly. And it's really hard to like, yeah, contain yourself and like bring yourself to like stay calm when everything is just like completely just falling apart. But yeah.
So, I mean, did you get like really good at golf?
By my standards for myself, sure. But I mean, by anybody else's standards, I was terrible at golf. But over the 4 years that I played, I definitely got a lot better.
Anyway, all right, all right.
But I was still like shooting just awful.
Right, right. But I mean, if golf could be more about the skill and the patience and that, like, I'm sure a lot more people could appreciate it more.
Yeah.
But you do have this surrounding, how much do golf clubs yeah, cost?
It's an old white man's game, right? Stigma, you know, like, I mean, yeah, that's just kind of, yeah, that's what golf is.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's easy to like look at any president either, you know, years ago and go, ugh, Obama is just out there playing golf
all like, the time.
and now, ugh, Trump is out there just playing golf.
Time.
We have crises going on. And you're just hitting a ball with a stick. What is wrong with you?
Right.
But I mean, I would also rather play golf because it looks really boring to watch.
Oh, it's extremely boring to watch. But since I played golf, I can watch golf on TV, which just sounds so weird to say. But I mean, it's kind of relaxing.
But you know
at
the difference.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you can be like, how is he keeping his cool right now when he's about to win like the Masters?
Mm-hmm.
And that's like really crazy to watch because you know what's going through his brain,
right,
all the money
right.
that's in his hands as he's trying to make that putt and like, yeah. you know, all that stuff. But
yeah. And I mean, it's just stretching something to like a really big magnitude. And that's something else about sports that like you're stretching a little arbitrary thing into this giant thing because it at this point yes it is millions of dollars. Players
yeah.
get paid millions of dollars for football or baseball mm-hmm. or soccer or golf and it's
yeah.
geez.
I think that's what also draws people. It's just like mm-hmm. when things are just on the line, that just
yeah.
like draws people to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean if you can make that happen every Saturday, I mean people are gonna be into that, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
It's definitely a thing.
And I mean, there's this one quote that Chris Ryan, I quote Chris Ryan a lot, but he quoted this other football coach and they were asking this coach, how do you get so good at coaching football? And he goes, well, you have to be smart enough to really understand the game, but not smart enough to understand how little it all matters.
That's pretty good. I like that.
because if you're really smart and go, oh yeah, this strategy and this thing, and you zoom out just enough to go,
but
does
any of
doing?
This matter? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like what are we
then,
actually doing?
Then you
here?
Just like give up on the game. And
yeah.
then nope. You
yeah.
became
and maybe
a bad
your
coach.
Life because you wasted so long.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I definitely feel you on that. That's a good
but
quote.
But I mean, what's the hat that you're wearing?
It's just a Colorado hat, actually.
Oh, okay.
This isn't a team hat. I know. I'm not that cool today.
All right. Well, you normally have Cubs stuff, right?
Do what?
Cubs.
Yeah, I'm a fake Cubs fan. I'm just a Chicago fan.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Royals was more my baseball team, but I'm a huge OU
okay.
fan. That's my true blood anyway. I love
so,
the Sears.
So with baseball, That's another sport that's not as exciting to watch.
Oh, yeah. It's
but
for most people, it's just terrible. Nails on a chalkboard.
So what makes baseball exciting to watch?
Honestly, it's kind of the same answer just because I played it for so
sure.
long. And I just love the physical aspect of, like,
right.
you know how fast those pitchers are throwing the ball. And like
sure, yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's just really, really fun to watch, like, when the hits do happen. I mean, it's just like so worth that in my opinion,
but the time
just,
in between.
Yeah, and I mean if you just didn't play baseball or just, you know, didn't understand the game, I don't know how you could watch it, to be honest. And I don't, I think it's literally just from, in my opinion, just knowing the games. I'll say that three more times just to be clear. Sure.
Know the game. And I'm also not going to let myself slide by thinking that your Colorado hat was a sports hat. Someone else is going to laugh at me for that. So I'm going to just go ahead and point that out for myself.
it was a good one. That's funny.
But, okay, so veering back away from this tangent.
Right. that was a long sports tangent.
Right. Which, I mean, if you didn't expect to have sports on this podcast, there you go. Here's your sports on BitDev.
We got it. Got it in there.
So would VR tickets for sports games, do you think there's a market for that?
I think there's a market for that more in like maybe I'm trying to think of how to describe that as a historical a way to like look at back at games. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So like you know, like back in like I don't even know how many years from now when Super Bowl I don't know 60 happens or something, and like my kids want to watch that, or someone, you know, in the future wants to watch that, they can go into that experience and go into that time and everything, kind of like a time traveling thing, something like that for sports games. I don't know if there's a huge market for like while it happens, you know what I mean? I mean, I guess that could be a good thing, but
because I mean, if you can get like VR courtside tickets for a Thunder game or something,
that would be pretty cool, right? To watch it while it happens. Yeah. That is a good point.
It would also be pretty hilarious to see, like, the ball hit the 360 camera or something.
Exactly.
I don't know. It would just be really funny to be watching ESPN one day and just see a ball just smack a tripod and just like
and millions of people just like freaked out.
Just lots of people like, oh man.
Just had a nightmare to the face.
But it would also be pretty interesting because then that's another aspect that like you're in the game.
Yeah. And I mean like
you could actually a lot of get people hit by the ball right here.
Exactly. So how do you feel about, I guess we kind of mentioned it earlier, but like, what do you think VR is going to happen with like concert tickets personally?
They'll still be there. Also noting the fact that, yes, you do have to have a 360 camera present there.
Which does, you know, kind of affect things too.
Like, yeah. So, I mean, maybe have a weird little circle in the center of the stage at the very front that's just, hey, this is the spot where the camera goes. Please do not bump into this, or have it like gated off or something. Because that would be weird too, because if you're in it, then you sort of look around and you have a weird little gate around you.
Yeah, it's kind of bizarre. I was just thinking about like, there's just going to be like feuds in the future. Like, are you real or are you VR? You know what I mean? There's going to be two different crowds, and that's kind of weird to think about. Anyway, have you looked at much at the VR like music videos people are putting out nowadays?
No, I haven't. And honestly, music videos are a sort of thing that I wish I could get into more because there's so much art involved. There's so much wonderful people put into music videos, but they don't make any money.
Oh yeah. And that's what's terrifying, because people sink thousands. I mean
Taylor Swift sank millions into all of her music videos because then they just became events,
right? And then they just like end up on YouTube. You know,
right? Like, right. And it's like, crazy. Oh yeah, about YouTube monetization. But
I don't think that adds up personally.
Markiplier makes a decent amount of money.
I mean, that's true. Yeah.
I think YouTube monetization is probably one of the better ways to get money off of streaming.
Oh, definitely. Out of all the services, Spotify is way better than Spotify or anything
giving
else.
You fractions of cents. So
here's a million plays, we'll give you like $20.
Right. Good job. You're famous. Exactly. Here's $20.
Exactly. Thanks, Spotify.
But I mean, VR music videos just seems like another way of, and thinking about it from the perspective of video games too, is that, it's hard to get the viewer to look in the right direction.
That is a good point. Yeah.
So playing a lot of video games and knowing that some events might happen in game, and if they didn't grab your camera and turn it towards the thing that you're supposed to look at, you just missed it.
Right. Yeah, that is a good point. I never
and
thought
so
about that.
Having a 360 environment where, you know, thinking about how a player might, oh, well, we want the player to go to this place for the next mission or whatever, or find this hidden thing, even though we gave like little hints in the environment.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to account for the fact that a player might go up to a wall, stay there, and set the controller down, go into the other room and make a sandwich, and the
yeah,
the game is just sitting there, and so
waiting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I mean, with VR music videos or concerts or whatever, you could have like, oh hey, here's the experience or whatever, but someone could just look down.
Yeah, that's true. But you could also, if I mean, depending on how much like detail you want to add in those
right.
videos, you could create a lot of different experiences in one video.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like
too.
The yeah.
Saw a 360 image. It was drawn, but it was a 360 Where's Waldo.
Whoa.
Which I mean, you have all directions to look around. And you know how Where's Waldo pictures are just, there's so much going on.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was a 360 Where's Waldo, and there's so much going on.
I don't know if I can handle that.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
That's a lot.
And so you just, like, keep looking around.
Right.
And it's really interesting because there's always something to look at. And
yeah.
So I guess you could structure a music video in that way, that no matter where you're looking, something cool is happening.
Here's an interesting concept that I was just thinking about. Do you think they'll ever make music videos that could somehow be different every time you experience them? Maybe they make some kind of algorithm that just like randomizes. I don't know. I have no idea how this
right,
would ever
right.
work, but like just randomize the experience mm-hmm. somehow to keep things fresh, to make sure like that video is just like always different every time you experience
right.
it.
Right. So, back to Radiohead. Radiohead released a thing. It wasn't a music video, but it was an app called Polyfauna. And it would randomly generate these 3D environments that, it would be some wisp or something that you would follow along with or follow it. Or you could just look around in whatever direction you want. And it just has this ambient Radiohead sounding music as, and you know, maybe as one track fades into the other, the environment would fade out and you would fade in into a different environment.
Interesting. Okay. I haven't heard about this.
And so that's something that's very adaptive and very very different, but it's also there are limitations. And so like even if you want to make a music video that's kind of like Where's Waldo, there's so much work.
Oh yeah.
Because it's one thing to, you know, people say a picture is worth 1,000 words. And so that's just if you're looking in one direction.
Right.
And then if you add all of the other directions while the whole thing is moving, that's a lot of stuff to orchestrate.
Right.
That's,
yeah.
You're doing about as much work as a freaking action movie sequence in a Michael Bay film, you know?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And so you have to choreograph all these people and rehearse and do all that mess. And then to make it adaptive, then you have to have enough footage. If it's live action, that is, you have to have enough footage to be able to sort of modulate into different.
Yeah, to make sure it keeps repeating.
Yeah, in some to where you ways. Have a different thing happening each video.
Right, right.
And so, if that were to start happening, artists would have to think in terms of video games, which is neat for me because I love video games. And a lot of VR video games now are kind of just kind of tech demos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's still pretty basic.
Yeah.
Right?
So there's this, you know, little Batman VR experience. It's probably maybe 30 minutes to an hour long. I haven't done it myself, but from what I've been told, it's cool. Like you're Batman, and you can look at your belt, and you can
you get to put on the suit cowl and everything, right? Or whatever.
Yeah, it's that's
every
awesome.
Person's dream ever,
right? But at the same time, so much work went into making that whole environment, but there's still the limitations of, well, what's the player gonna do? And then you also have to keep in mind that VR. Full motion, full movement in VR is really daunting.
Yeah.
If you haven't done it before, and if your stomach turns over really easily,
probably not for you.
yeah. Because what it is your eyes are telling your brain, hey, we're moving. But the rest of your body and the liquid in your ears is telling you, no, we're not.
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of a trip.
And so your brain's like, so what are we doing?
Right.
And your stomach is sensing motion and you're, and so in a lot of VR things, they don't actually have the perspective moving through space. If they move, they just teleport to the next place.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Because watching the environment move around
would
you
just be too much
is kind of daunting.
Okay.
There are games that do it, but it's really for more experienced VR players.
Interesting. I had no idea. That's
gotten
really
used to.
Yeah.
That.
So you have to train your brain
a little
much.
Bit. Yeah. Huh. See, I'd done some PSVR stuff, and some were that way where it would just sort of teleport you to each spot. And then I played a different game where you were riding in a van and shooting at bikes or whatever that were. And so riding in a van is a little bit different because you're not moving, but you are moving. You're seeing the environment around you. And so that was a nice step up.
Yeah.
but then there was another one that was – you are this alien on this mech robot thing, and then you're in space and you're jumping between asteroids in sort of open space.
Oh, that sounds cool.
And that almost got me.
Probably a little much for the visual-wise.
Because, sure, at first you had the full motion. You can control where you move and stuff. And after going through the other stuff, I was, well, this isn't so bad. I can feel how that feels weird, but this isn't so bad. But then once it started jumping in between asteroids, the thing is that it would alter the direction that down is whenever you would jump to each asteroid. And so as you're flying through the air, you would rotate in the air. And
sounds like Vomit Central.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah. And so not only are you moving through space visually while the rest of your body is sitting still, you're also rotating and gravity is shifting to your eyes, but still the rest of your body and the liquid in your ears is telling you down is still down.
Right. Oh, man, that's weird. That is super weird.
And so
what is your brain thinking in that?
Right,
like,
right.
I can't
even
imagine.
And so you just you get a little nauseous.
Right.
And for me, I got nauseous and I was, well, let me slow down a little bit. Let me not jump in between these things as much. But then I got to the point to where, you know what? I need to understand my own body and feel if I keep going any longer, any faster, I might just throw up.
Yeah. Get at that point.
And so all that to say is that once you start incorporating moving VR stuff, you have to be careful about, well, who's your audience? Have they been doing VR before and are they used to this? Because if you go, here you go, Super Bowl tickets, VR, it's like, cool. But we put the VR camera on the crane camera that's floating above the field.
And everyone threw up by halftime. And
everyone throws up because that crane camera is, oh, here comes this play, and it just pans right over the thing, and everyone's like, whoa, motion, and...
Can't handle it.
Yep.
Wow, that's really interesting. I never even thought about choosing a VR audience. I just thought about making the videos in general. That's pretty cool.
And then earlier we kind of talked about how accessible that might be. So, I mean, a lot of people have smartphones nowadays, and so smartphones can do a very simple VR where it just splits your screen and just does it for both your eyes. But then you have the gaming rigs like the Oculus Rift, PSVR, and the HTC Vive, which are expensive.
Really expensive right now, right?
I think PSVR is at $300. Right now, which is the cheapest one. I think Oculus might be $500, and Vive, which is the best one, is $600 or $700.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that expensive. Yeah. Wow.
And so if you don't have $600 to just throw down on a fun vision hat, like you don't
fun vision hat, I like that. That's a good one.
I mean, people have better investments to make, you know?
Yeah.
I have a lot of music stuff that I want to buy.
Yeah, we're always upping our
before
gear.
Before I buy a vomit hat, so.
Yeah. I mean, you were saying earlier, you think it was going to be 3 or 4 years before it becomes accessible?
Yeah, or? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Because I think more and more people are becoming more accepting of, oh, I'm getting a video game console and this thing is $300, $400. Mm-hmm. And people are all right with that.
Right.
Knowing that, oh, this is a thing that it has my Netflix and my Hulu.
Yeah. So people will also just spend whatever to have a home.
Right, yeah, right. Yeah. But it also has video games.
Home console. Yeah, yeah.
Play video games on it, talk to my friends through it, you know.
Right.
And so game consoles are more than just the console. It's the whole thing surrounding it too. Mm-hmm. And so people are becoming more accepting of, oh, these are video games. I play on a PS4 or on an Xbox One. And a Switch. Switch is good, guys. But
I gotta get one at some point. I gotta play Zelda.
Yeah, I want a Switch. It just looks like a lot of fun.
Oh, it looks so fun.
I'm usually not a Nintendo person.
Me neither, but the Switch got me. Yeah. I was just like, oh, it's going to happen eventually.
But yeah, people seem to be more accepting. More people are buying consoles. And so with VR over time, one, there needs to be content for it. Mm-hmm. There needs to be video games. There needs to be movies, I guess. There needs to be...
Ooh, movies. I didn't even think about that.
Or even just because one thing that that they do on PSVR, maybe on all of them as well, they have a theater mode. And so while this game may not be implemented for VR, you don't have full 360 view, but what it does have is it's sort of, you have a theater. And so you're playing this game as though you're in a theater with a giant screen. And so you get this experience like, whoa, I can, you know, see how big this screen is or whatever. And so you experience the game differently than you would if you have, you know, a small 32-inch TV in the room or something.
Very cool. That's interesting.
And so, you know, if more people knew about that with movies or something, hey, I could have a VR experience watching one of my favorite movies as though it was still in theaters.
Ooh, okay.
And so that's something that, you know, people could really get into.
Definitely, yeah. Oh, there's a huge audience.
Yeah. And so if more people were willing to go, you know what, I'll pay $300 for a cool face theater thing. That,
face theater.
I'm just using as many different interchangeable words for a VR.
Keep at it. I'm loving it.
VR
here.
Headset. If people become more willing to do that, then yeah, more people will make content for it because it's hard to, you know, if you're a musician, you don't make any money off of music videos anyways. And so why would I make a 360 VR music video if only, you know, 3% of my fan base, if that, is even going to be able to see it in VR? So over time, as the technology gets cheaper and as more content is created for it and more people know about it, then it'll, oh yeah, I'll pay $200 for a VR thing. Sure. And then as far as it going to every home, oh, you can just watch this in your, you know, in your VR thing at home. The hard part about that is that it's personal.
Mm.
So people are willing to pay $1,000 for, you know, their big, however many inch screen TV.
Mm-hmm.
But that the whole family can gather around and watch that. Yeah. You can't share.
that's a really good point. That's interesting.
Oh, let me put one eye thing on. And you put the other eye thing on.
It'll be a cute date or something.
And so that's something that's sort of conflicting about VR is that since it's so expensive, but a lot of people really enjoy the community experience of movies or video games. And so a lot of video games have strong multiplayer components.
Mm-hmm.
And so if a game goes, oh, hey, we are all VR, then what percentage of those people are actually going to play it and then know people that they want to play with that also can play it?
Yeah. That's a pretty small percentage, I'm guessing, now anyway. Yeah.
So the stuff has to be there.
Right. Do you think console gaming, let's see, maybe 15, 20 years, is it going to be a thing of the past to where you just have this thing that you plug into your screen and you just like play it with a controller? I mean, is a controller going to morph into something else that I don't even know? You just kind of use both hands, like kind of like the... what do they call that for the PS4? The sticks? You know what I'm talking about?
The Move controllers.
Yeah, the Move controllers. I don't know.
Like, which, by the way, the Move controllers are like 8 years old or something.
Are they really?
They haven't updated them since the PS3.
Wow.
And they just have these crazy old Move controllers that, I don't know. But
gotta up your game, PlayStation.
I think every gamer hopes for the one console future, the utopia of, oh, do you have PS4? Do you have Xbox?
Like, it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, we are all on the same thing. And hopefully that's what would happen. You know, whatever tech company decides, you know what? I'ma just buy it all. Whether it be Microsoft, it goes, Sony, let's just go for it. Or if Sony goes, Microsoft, I own you now. Like, that would be many billions of dollars of an investment. But it would open up the market that much more.
Oh, definitely. If you could be connected to all your friends all the time, just exactly. on one console, that'd be crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And then as far as controllers go, it's hard to say. I mean, you said 10 to 20 years, and that's a long time.
It is a really long time.
It's hard to think of something that would replace how used to controllers we are.
Yeah.
Because
that's all we've grown up with too.
Right. I mean,
it's
right.
Just like,
but at the same time, we've made the shift already. So we all used to have flip phones, or even farther back, Nokia's things and
the bricks.
You don't touch the screen. You press buttons that mm-hmm. interface with the screen.
Right. Right.
But now we all have touch screens, and if the thing is on the screen, that's the thing that you press.
Mm-hmm.
Now
we have facial recognition just to open the phone, which
yeah,
is even
yeah.
freakier.
But we're becoming a little bit more used to that dynamic nature of something that we're holding on to.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, I mean, obviously some scientists are working on it, but or technology, whatever tech people are working on a sort of textured touch interface, in that if we're able to, because I mean, you remember whenever you had your flip phone and you're able to just like type away at that thing.
T9?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just type away at that thing, not even looking. And
oh,
just
yeah. I'm going to get like
make a
carpal
typo.
Tunnel just from all the texts I sent back in middle school.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know?
Like, well, that's because you could feel where the buttons were.
Right. Yeah.
We move on to touch screens and just typos all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, if predictive text and autocorrect wasn't there, all the phone typing would just look like a weird garbled mess.
Gibberish.
There would be a B and an N in between every word right. instead of a space.
Yeah.
There would be like random letters missing because I accidentally hit backspace. It'd just be awful. But at some point, if someone's able to make a sort of textured interface that goes, hey, here's a thing that you can press, and then the screen sort of raises up and goes, hey, look, here's a button. That would be a way to where if you have a VR headset on and you have some touch interfaces in your hand,
uh-huh.
then they adapt to what you're playing or what you're using, then you don't have to look down at your hands because
yeah.
you have your funky VR visor. You can just use it that way, and you don't have to think about what you're typing or touching or whatever. And so that could be something beyond a controller.
Yeah, definitely. You just blew my mind. I never thought about any of that. That's crazy.
Textured. I mean, it's been in the back of my mind, but some people are probably working on that. I can definitely
yeah,
assure
somebody's
you that people
working
are working on
that.
Makes me think of like, you know, those office thingies that you would like stick your hand on with all the pins or whatever, and you stick
I would
your
stick
hand
my
on
face in
side.
It, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. But everyone else stuck their face in it.
Oh, so. Yeah. Yeah, everyone did it at least once.
And you would see the texture of it. I think that would be a way that they would do that. It's just the screen would be made up of tiny little screens,
mm-hmm.
and they would all be able to move up and down and sort of have a texture that way.
Oh, that's a really cool idea.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. That's definitely a possibility for the future,
yeah.
for sure.
But I'm not an engineer. Or
yeah, you make it happen
developer.
And just let me know.
I could not tell you how to make that work or what sort of crazy soldering would be involved into making that device work.
Yeah.
But what else was I gonna ask you about? earlier we were talking about sort of social media in that sense. So we've been talking about technology so much. How do you think that social media would be affected as the technology, as we become more integrated with the technology.
As we become, I mean, it's just going to get, depending on how you view social media, I think it's going to get worse.
Right.
I mean, because we're already just completely obsessed with just putting whatever we're doing online all the time. So, I mean, it's just going to be that we were talking about the Black Mirror thing.
Yeah.
Or that Black Mirror thing, Black Mirror, the show. Have you seen the episode where
I've
the girl
seen Black Mirror,
you've so okay good I'm glad I'm with a professional here so the episode where I can't remember her name, but she's really obsessed with upping her popularity
and
putting all that stuff out on the internet. I think that's a definite possibility.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know if it's gonna go as far as social class and issues with like that, you know. I think that's what that was diving into.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, in that episode, I don't know if people even had money. I think their money was just their...
Oh, was that how that worked? I didn't even realize that.
I'm not sure, but it seemed to be that way.
I think they did have money, because I think she had to buy...
Right.
But yeah, that was still mostly the currency.
It was
sort
of like
a credit
score.
Yeah. And you got like special things, which was really... That was freaking me out.
Right. So, I mean... And we already see glimpses of that anyways. So, no, it's not relevant to us. But if you're a small business owner, or if you're an Uber driver, people give you ratings.
Yeah.
You know, if you gave someone bad service one day because you had a bad day that day or something, then... someone's going to go on to Yelp or Google and review that, oh, man, this place sucks. And then you lose, you know, a bunch of customers that way.
Yeah, because that's all people, like, really care about anymore is, like, if you have a bad Yelp review, people aren't even going to give you a shot.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, who is the Yelp reviewer? Well, I mean, like, I don't know. What kind of person are they?
Yeah.
Were they rude?
They were
they nice? Like, why should I trust this person I don't know who's just writing a review?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of, it's definitely a weird thing.
Which, I mean, it's always, you always have to approach technology from a objective point of view. It's easy to go to lean one way or the other and go, ah, technology is the worst. Or, oh, man.
Yeah, it's totally. I do that way too much. Technology is going to be the end of us. But it's also, you know, saved. Yeah, millions of people. And,
yeah, exactly.
You know, it's really good
for
the world too.
It's very easy to just go, well, Facebook is just evil, and but no, you can connect with people. And,
it has a lot of good qualities.
Right. But anyways, if you're an Uber driver, same thing. If maybe your car was acting up that day, or you didn't get enough sleep the night before and you're kind of making some dumb mistakes. Everyone makes some dumb mistakes while driving.
Right.
I know I do.
Especially in the morning.
Oh, yeah. I've done some very jerk moves that I'm like, oh, gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm the worst.
Yeah,
I wish I could apologize to you telepathically right now.
Right. I know you're just staring, swearing at me in your car, but I'm sorry.
It's like, yeah, that was my bad. But if you're an Uber driver and you have a passenger with you or something, they're awful driver.
Yeah,
and
ding.
They
and
didn't,
then...
Yeah, so one star, fired. And like,
yeah.
So, I mean, people are kind of already receiving ratings.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, you can rate each other at some point. I don't know if that... And we sort of do that anyways through social media. How many likes your Instagram picture gets. How many, you know, people like your post where you took a selfie on Facebook or whenever you make a virtue signaling rant on on Twitter or something. I mean, we're already kind of rating each other.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't even realize... I mean, I've realized, I just don't really think about the whole likes with rating. It is kind of like very similar in that aspect. Do you think, You go ahead. I'm thinking on a question
here. Right, right. Well, I mean, I'll sort of answer the question I asked you, but I think that as technology becomes more integrated with us, it'll be more accessible to be online and be involved, which could be a good or a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it also becomes more personal in that hopefully the reaction that you might get of a virtual avatar or whatever might be similar to that of if you tell someone to their face that you're ugly and fat.
Yeah.
And so hopefully it could become more real. That's usually the intent of a lot of technological development is making it more like the real thing. Even in music, we spend so much money trying to, here's a thing the real... like a fader, here's a drum, here's a thing like a, you know, they make a, this has been around for a while, but you know, they make MIDI wind controllers.
What?
And so it's like a clarinet, but
it's MIDI.
But it's
that's
MIDI.
Really
so
cool.
It reads how much you blow into it.
The velocity,
velocity
and everything. Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, we spend so much money trying to make the thing like the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do we make this experience more tactile, more real, more rewarding or whatever? But then it can also lend another degree of satisfaction to the sadists, I guess, to go, cool, my meanness seems to have more impact,
mm-hmm.
and I still don't have to deal with these people face to face.
That's the double-edged sword, definitely, yeah. I mean, I think it's just always going to be like that since the internet is just, you know, just become what it is.
Trolls are trolls.
I mean, trolls are always going to be trolls, you know. And don't now they just have a home to roam around in. Yeah, I don't know if, because I don't think you can ever really, can you ever get rid of trolls? I don't think you can. Otherwise, you just kind of end up in the...
you ignore them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you kind of have to have trolls, don't you? I mean...
A little bit. In order to just kind of keep yourself in check, I guess.
Yeah,
if
that's
you...
a good way to think of it.
Because whenever, I don't know, you do something, and maybe you did do a bad job or something, someone goes, sucks. And you go, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I do suck.
or just being a balance. Because the same thing can happen in the opposite direction. What if, I don't know, you've lived a very sheltered life, and all your parents and friends tell you is, oh, you're the greatest, you're amazing, mm-hmm. I love everything that you do. And what if in all actuality you're a painter, and everything you paint, your parents go, oh yeah, that's great, oh, I'm gonna hang it up right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then you try and go out into the market, oh, everyone's told me my art is so great, I'm gonna sell my paintings. And people are just like, ugh.
Yeah, awful.
I don't want that.
Right.
And they never tell you. They just like kind of look at it and go, okay. And walk away.
Yeah.
Well, what is that? You know, you need a bit of both. You need
you
someone to
yeah,
be
you
honest
need...
with you and go, all right, this is bad.
Yeah. You definitely need that for sure.
Because if everyone just told you that you're great, then you wouldn't think you needed to improve.
Which is like... Yeah, number one mistake. That's literally the number one mistake.
Yeah, if you're a genius, you're the smartest, you're the best, you use the biggest words.
You're always trying to. You're still trying to improve. Like,
yeah,
best of the best are still.
Well,
trying
no,
to get better.
I'm saying that if you think that you're that way, if you think that you're the smartest, or no one does.
Oh,
this
then
thing
you obviously
like you,
aren't.
Then,
yeah.
Then, you know, maybe you can make some progress or something, or try to get a different perspective.
Yes, yes.
You should be making progress.
Yeah. I feel like you should always be making progress. Yeah. There's always something you should be working on or trying to achieve, something else.
And that's something that we talked about in our songwriting demo building class, is that you should always be a little unhappy with what you make.
Yeah.
Like, you can be proud of your stuff. You can be like, oh, I did a good thing here. Mm-hmm. But you can always be, 7 out of 10.
Because, right.
Because that just means that your standards are improving as you improve.
Definitely.
And so, yeah, that was what Patrick was saying. If you ever go, well, that was perfect, then, I mean, cool, you're done, pack it up.
Good job. I guess you win. Yeah, you won at music. You did it.
And okay, that's it.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's never it. And even my heroes are still self-deprecating and still make stuff that they go, this is crap. And
I'm just like, I could never do anything like that.
Right.
Yeah, totally.
But in most cases, I think that going back to technology and being integrated, I think that things can always improve if we communicate with one another.
Mm-hmm.
If we're able to go, you know what? I think this is a thing that I feel about your thing. How do you feel about that? And as long as we're able to talk it out and be able to solve problems that way, instead mm-hmm. of just going somewhere screaming. Else and, you know, this person's the worst. And
right.
As soon as they walk by, hi, how are you doing? Yeah. Hey.
Yes, definitely.
The more that we're able to communicate with each other, the more that a lot of these problems can be solved.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, I was talking to my friend John about this. Some of the more intolerant or racist people that might think, oh, well, all the immigrants are stealing our jobs, or they don't hate anyone that exists.
They hate the idea.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
Totally.
And so, this immigrant coming into the country illegally, not paying any taxes, and stealing my job and driving my wage down.
Mm-hmm.
Screw this guy.
Okay, but name one.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just like they never can.
Because every undocumented immigrant is, I wish I could be here legally. I wish I could get paid more. I wish I could, you know, pay taxes so that I can be legit. And
of course, yeah.
But the person that they hate doesn't exist.
Yeah, exactly.
And so if we were able to just talk to one another and go, hey, I hate that, you know, I'm getting paid less because you are working here illegally. And they're like, I hate that I'm working here illegally too.
Yeah. Then like, then what would the conversation be?
Right,
but that
right.
just doesn't happen, you know?
And so the more that we can communicate and go, I can see that. Oh, I can finally mm-hmm. understand your perspective.
Yeah.
It's what I'm doing here.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you. Yeah, communication is definitely going to be a big thing for that.
Do you have any more sort of thoughts to add?
I don't think so, anyway. I think we had a good talk here.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Covered all the things, the sports and the VR.
I know. I'm proud we got
social
sports
media.
In there. In the Bit Dev podcast.
Cool. I usually ask this question on the second podcast. What's something that you've been watching or listening to or playing that you've really been enjoying and you want other people to hear about?
So I was just talking to you about this band, but I'll say it again. King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard is just, it's one of my favorite things right now. I saw one of their concerts about a month ago, a couple weeks ago, and They're just a really cool psychedelic rock band from Australia, and they have like two drummers, which of course I'm into.
Oh yeah.
And just do a whole bunch of really cool stuff with recording and microtonal instruments and everything. So if you're into psychedelic rock, I would definitely check that out.
Oh yeah.
Movie-wise.
Or TV show or whatever.
Yeah, TV show-wise. I don't know. I always just end up watching The Office, honestly, or just something classic. I'm trying to think of anything new. I've been watching. Atlanta was super good. Have you seen that yet?
I haven't.
Donald Glover's. I'd love to. Oh, it's so good. Yeah, Atlanta's very, very good. Rick and Morty season 3, obviously. Mm. That's super good. But yeah, I think I'll call it there.
Right, right.
King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. If you haven't listened to them, give it a shot.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure I'm sounding like a broken record at this point, but I'm still listening to Clipping. It's just so good. Listen to all of that. It's just David's flow is just impeccable. He crams so many words in there. They have concepts, they social commentary and all that. It's the best. And then the third album is a science fiction Afrofuturist concept album where it follows a escaped slave on a spaceship who's all alone, but the onboard computer falls in love with him.
Whoa. Okay. Yeah. I'm down.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to hear that.
And it's kind of a short album as far as albums go. It's like 37 minutes long.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But it's brilliant.
Nice. I'll definitely have to give that a go.
I haven't started playing it yet, but I bought it recently, and everyone that reviews video games that I listen to has been talking about how good Pyre is.
I don't know if I've heard of that one.
By the same people that made Bastion and Transistor, and it's just their third game, and Bastion was really good, and the soundtrack was really good. Transistor is probably my favorite game. And that soundtrack is really, really good. And so I'm really excited to play Pyre.
Nice. That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah. And then as far as watching, not that they need the publicity, but Stranger Things season 2 is coming out this Friday.
Oh, yeah. I am so ready. I'm about to rewatch the whole first season again.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be great. I did remember one thing I've been watching a ton of. Have you ever heard of the YouTube channel Jash?
Mm-mm.
J-A-S-H. It's by, it's a group of people. I mean, it's very Adult Swim-esque humor.
Right.
But Eric Wareheim, Tim Heidecker, Michael Sarah Silverman.
Oh, man.
Reggie Watts. And I think there might be a couple other people, like Todd Glass maybe, but they're all like the heads of this channel.
Mm-hmm.
And basically they just like put out their own material, and it can be music videos, it could be weird short films,
right,
just like whatever you want to make it.
Yeah.
So I've been watching a lot of that. So if you're into weird, great, out there videos that, you know, very Tim and Eric-esque, I would check out Jash. It has some really, really cool stuff.
J-A-S-H?
Yep, it's just a channel. It's super bizarre.
And sorry to keep this going, but if we're going down the YouTube rabbit hole, I've been really enjoying Wisecrack. Wisecrack videos are, it's just, they analyze movies and TV shows and video games sometimes through a philosophical context,
yeah,
which is amazing.
Right.
Then Nerdwriter, similar thing, video essays on movies or art.
I love doing that, just going in and digesting, well, having someone just digest a movie and get their opinion on it. And then
a different one called Just Write, WRITE. And that also analyzes a lot of writing in movies and stuff. He also has I think, 6-part video series on why the Hobbit movies sucked. and it is just on point.
Nice. So
it'll make you depreciate the Hobbit movies.
I might have to give that a go at some point.
and it also is a 3-parter on how bad the last Airbender movie was.
I didn't even watch it.
Right. Well, it was bad.
So he's probably pretty accurate.
And he can tell you about it.
Nice.
Well, cool. Trevor, thanks for doing this with me.
Thanks so much for having me, man.
I did these hand motions in the opposite direction. where can we find you and your things?
You can find me at social media. Instagram is at Trevor Lindley, and it's LINDLEY for my last name, that for those of you who don't know it. Mm-hmm. Twitter is Tweets by Trev with two Vs. And please don't find me on Facebook. It's very embarrassing. But yeah, I'll have a YouTube channel out there eventually at Trevor Lindley.
Cool, cool.
Might put up some music mixes here pretty soon.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see.
That'll be great. Yeah. Thank you. I'm Santiago Ramones.
I'm Trevor Lindley.
I make music. I make this podcast. You can find all those things on my website, santiagoramones.com. I have put out my demo. It is out. You can listen to it. You can pay $0.
Go buy it.
You can pay $100. You can pay more than that dollars.
Pay $1,000 because it's worth it.
If you think so, but you played on it. And it was just a lot of fun to work on. Just a proof of concept to go, hey, look, I write songs. They have words. It's a little, you know, it may not be perfect, but I like being able to look at a thing and go, look, I have songs that I put out. And so if you want to listen to that and download that and get to know my music as far as songs go, that's a way to do it. It's called Songs with Words Demo, and you can find it through my website or on my Bandcamp or whatever. My website is the hub of all my things, santiagoramones.com. I end every podcast with my three things. Those three things shape my life and philosophy. They are love never fails. It's going to be okay. I might be wrong.